We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, time now for our Landry Football Report as we welcome in one of our favorites here on KMOX, Chris Landry. Alex Ferrario back with you. Chris, here we go, man. We are getting closer and closer to bowl season. We're getting closer and closer to the NFL playoffs, and work never ends for you, right?
Oh, you're right, Alex. It's great to be with you as always, and it's a fun time of year. And a lot of people think there are too many bowl games, and heck, I think there are a lot of good ones, and it leads into even better ones towards the end. And then certainly this is the best time of the year in the NFL. What a game, obviously, you know, with the Chargers and the Chiefs, and just when you get into that last 2-3 weeks of the season, all the playoff scenarios, who's going to get byes, who's going to get home field, who's going to make it into the playoffs. It has a real playoff feel to it the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season. So it's a lot of fun, no doubt about it, for football fans.
Yeah, it's been a great 14 weeks in the NFL, and the college football season did not disappoint. But let me remind our listeners, you can learn what NFL teams and college programs already know by joining LandryFootball.com, and now you get an even greater holiday discount. It's the perfect holiday gift for you or the loved one that you can give all year long. It's from the film room analysis on the remaining college and NFL games to the analysis of college recruiting classes, upcoming draft, free agency, and all the latest inside information from around the college and NFL teams that Chris works on a daily basis. And don't forget all the coaching search inside information as well. It's less than a magazine subscription, and now even with an even greater holiday discount, all you got to do is tell Chris that you heard about them here on KMOX. As always, LandryFootball.com is where you can check all of that out. You could follow him on Twitter at LandryFootball. So, Chris, let's start with college because, a couple weeks and then we have the first bowl game. Which one are you most excited for that's not the college playoffs?
I would say that LSU Central Florida is intriguing. I think the Rose Bowl will be fun. I think Georgia Texas in the Sugar Bowl is potentially exciting, assuming Georgia is ready to play that game because, you know, there's such a disappointment to lose that conference championship game. That game's intriguing. And of the others, you know, I really like the contrast in the Alamo Bowl, Iowa State and Washington State, Cyclones defense and Washington State's offense. And then here's one that's kind of early, day after Christmas, Boise State, Boston College.
Right.
Two physical, well-coached teams. I like it. And then I got to tell you, starting out Saturday, Arizona State, Fresno State, another good one that is very, very intriguing. So I think there's some really good matchups throughout this whole process. And I give you another one, too. How about the Armed Forces Bowl in Army in Houston? The ground control of Army, ball control versus the up-tempo. I mean, it is a true contrast in styles.
Well, let me tell you something. Army-Navy game did not disappoint doesn't disappoint every single year. But I'll tell you the one that I'm truly excited about, and it's the matchup between Florida and Michigan, because Michigan this season was such an interesting team. You know, they had their ups, they had their downs, but they seemed to be a dominant team. Chris, and Florida maybe underperforming from what you would have expected this season with a 9-3 record, but in that Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, that's going to be an interesting one, I think, with Jim Harbaugh at the helm.
Yeah, I do. In fact, I got it as a game I like. I guess one of the things is secretly, I don't know, I would have liked to have seen Central Florida against Florida and LSU against Michigan.
I agree.
That I guess that's why. But listen, I'm with you. What Dan's done with this Florida team, it's very, very, I think, a little bit ahead of schedule. I think Michigan's the more talented team of the bunch. You know, it's been a disappointing year. You wonder if Jim Harbaugh and his staff will get a little juice now that Urban Meyer is leaving Columbus. I mean, you wonder. I look at bowl games outside of the playoff games as the first game of next year.
Wow.
It's you get 16 bowl practices. It's like an extra spring practice. And yes, you've got in some cases, you've had a lot of seniors and upperclassmen that are skipping the game. But for the most part, you know, it's about, hey, young guys, this is your team next year. So make your statement here. So I think these games are important. And I like to evaluate, you know, how these teams will progress. And it doesn't necessarily translate into next year, but it could certainly give an indication of things that need to work on in the offseason.
Well, then we have the AutoZone Liberty Bowl, which I know everyone here in Missouri is going to be paying close attention to on New Year's Eve afternoon. Mizzou taking on Oklahoma State, and what a season for the Missouri Tigers, Chris. And, you know, we've talked so much about it this year, that it's a team that, you know, despite the two losses to the two best teams in college football, you had two losses that were final minute, final second losses for Barry Odom's squad. But other than that, they were dominant all year long, and it looks like they're going to carry that into the game against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, an old Big 12 matchup. You know, I've been concerned and was concerned going into this year is how would Barry have this team playing. And I think, for again, he's got this team playing hard throughout the season. I thought he rebounded at the end of last year. This year, you could make the case it's one of the better coaching jobs, I thought, keeping his team playing hard, and game against Florida and so on and so forth. Excited about this game against Oklahoma State because, you know, it's a little bit of a throwback in the Big 12 days, but you got this Oklahoma State team that's been a little up and down, and it would be obviously a good way for this Mizzou team. And I think to go out on a high note if they're able to win it. And, you know, I'm very curious to see, and I'm watching closely their recruiting class that's, you know, listen, 80% of the guys are going to sign in a week. And certainly kind of getting in the bowl preparation and getting this recruiting class done is a big challenge. And I'm curiously watching how they finish up this recruiting class, because I'm impressed with what they've done in recruiting. But, Alex, it's probably the 12th or 13th best class in the SEC when you look at everybody recruiting so well. So I'm looking at how they can build upon this, obviously getting Kelly Bryant. I mean, there are a lot of positives to build in the offseason, and I think getting a win in the bowl game is not going to have a dramatic impact, but I think it could have a positive impact if you win it and go into your offseason program, and you got something that you can really sell that, look, we're a program on the rise. And maybe if you get off to a better start, then maybe they can be a little bit more competitive. As you mentioned, a lot of those games came down to where it could have gone either way. You got to be able to flip those five or six plays in those games that could take you from losing it to winning it.
Look, it's not easy to recruit in the SEC, especially with dominant forces like Alabama and like Georgia. But with the Kelly Bryant news, Chris, and then with the wide receiver that said he was going to be transferring to Mizzou from Georgia, there's a lot of other names out there that, because of some of the coaching moves that have taken place, Mizzou may have an opportunity to jump on a lot of these recruits and transfer to the Missouri Tigers.
There's no question about it. And again, I think there's some good players for the future. I like the quarterback they're getting out of Ohio. Connor Bozalek is a really good young player. Jelani Williams is a good defensive back. A couple of good offensive linemen. The Buford kid out of Illinois, Jack Buford's really good. C.J. Boone. I mean, they've got some really good players. It's just so competitive. But I'm seeing them. They've got a really good tackle out of Georgia that's a good player that's committed. And you see them getting into a little bit of the SEC footprint with the Georgia and Floridas. Not a lot, but a little bit. That's what they've got to do. I mean, their success to build a program that can maybe be as competitive as the fan base would like is going to come down to recruiting, because I'm going to tell you, if you're looking at the top five recruiting classes in the country may all be from the SEC. I mean, certainly Alabama, A&M, and Georgia are three of the five best, no question. So you're looking up at, you know, basically teams with more talent. They've got to look and kind of match the Kentuckys and the South Carolinas of the world, at least in my view. That's where I think they can be, and if they can do that from a recruiting standpoint and continue to develop, they've got a chance to be successful and go to bowl games and build off of, you know, what they have done the past couple of years.
Again, we're talking with Chris Landry, our Landry Football Report. LandryFootball.com is the place to go to get all your information for the remaining bowl games and looking ahead to next season in college football, and then being up to date with NFL, because, Chris, we only have a few weeks left before we get into the playoffs, and obviously the Chiefs and Chargers in action this week. But more importantly, man, there are some great games and some crucial games four teams trying to make the playoffs this Sunday afternoon and evening.
There's no question about it. A lot at stake. You're looking at, you know, when you look at the conferences and the shakeup in terms of the playoff implications, man, I mean, you've got home field advantage at stake. You've got, you know, a Miami and Minnesota trying to stay alive, a Dallas trying to hold on against an Indianapolis who's also trying to get into that last playoff spot. Chicago trying to wrap up the North. Green Bay trying to stay alive. Tennessee trying to stay alive. Baltimore trying to stay alive. Seattle looks good for the fifth spot. And then you've got New England, Pittsburgh. I mean, if they don't watch it, they've got New England coming off a loss to Miami. Then they've got New Orleans. They could miss the playoffs altogether. So the Rams trying to hold in for the possibility of home field advantage. And, you know, the Saints trying to hold them off. And then Carolina's kind of played their way out of it. It is most games. This is why they did this. And they get into the last couple of games where you're playing pretty much conference folds in most cases to where it makes every game that much more meaningful. But there are a lot at stake. And, you know, if you look at the teams right now, I try to grade each team and, you know, cumulative effect throughout the year. You're starting to see a little bit with the Bears and the Cowboys, two teams that I don't know if they have enough offenses, Alex, to be a real threat in the playoffs, but I think they're good enough to maybe in a one-game scenario surprise some people. So that's going to be interesting. In the AFC, what's most interesting to me is fascinating to me is the AFC West with the Chiefs, with the Chargers. Now, the Chiefs can obviously, you know, put it away, but if they fall back, I mean, one of those teams is going to get the fifth seed.
Yeah.
Is basically what I'm saying. And that is just going to – it doesn't feel right because right now I would look at the Chargers as one of the top three teams right now in the AFC, and they probably are going to end up as a fifth seed.
Well, how about the Bears? And you mentioned them, Chris, but, you know, their offense has been fluky. There's no question with the receivers not being able to, I guess, convert on some of their outstanding offensive plays. But is that defense good enough to move this Bears team through the playoffs, Chris?
Not by itself. They're going to have to play better on offense. And listen, if they put it together, at least in a one-game scenario, if they're able to run the football better and obviously create better down and distance situations and make enough plays in the passing game with that defense, yes, they can do it. But they're not going to, you know, beat teams, you know, 13-10 or 17-13. They're not going to be able to do that against the Rams on the road, I don't think, and I don't think they're going into New Orleans and doing that. And I think the same thing for Dallas, who beat the Saints recently. So I still think that at least as it relates to New Orleans, if they have to go on the road, that would be tough. Now, the Rams, a little concerned about how they're playing on offense. They're really out of sync. But, yeah, I think the Bears and the Cowboys, I'll throw a blanket over both of them and say, yes, if they can get good offensive productivity in the game, their defense will give them a really good chance. But am I confident in saying that I am confident in their offense to do that, to make a deep run? I have not seen that.
You know, there are a couple of teams that have really surprised me these last few weeks. One of them being Indianapolis, the other being Miami. And coming off of that huge win and comeback win over the New England Patriots, Chris, is it a team to believe in, or is it a team that just kind of ran into something fluky?
Well, on both of them, I mean, I think the Dolphins have been a little bit more fluky. I think the Colts have gradually gotten better. I think, obviously, Luck has played well. They've got some playmakers. They're protecting them a little bit better. They're running it fairly well, and the defense has improved. I think, to me, they look like, you know, a wild-card team. I felt like about 3 weeks ago that this is maybe the sixth team. They're better than Tennessee, more consistent. I thought they've been a little bit better than Baltimore, although that is debatable right now, and that division is still in play. And I think they're a little better than the Dolphins. But, you know, the Dolphins are a little bit more streaky. I would say that when they are hitting on all cylinders, they're really good. But, boy, they look pretty average in some games. But, you know, the Colts 2 weeks ago go to Jacksonville and can't get anything done on offense and lose a game that really surprised me. And right now it's going to be a fun race, as I mentioned. That fifth seed is pretty much secure, but that sixth seed is going to come between Indianapolis, Tennessee, Miami, and maybe whoever doesn't win the North. So that's going to be fun here to watch these teams kind of sort it out. Remember last year at this time, wasn't quite sure how, and then Buffalo got in. They really didn't look like a playoff team, but they got in. That might be the case again this year, although I think Indianapolis with Andrew Luck, if they can finish strong, they look like a team that is a little bit better than, say, Buffalo's sixth seed last year.
So I think it's safe to say 1-2 when it comes to the AFC is Kansas City, and you can make the argument of New England or you can make the argument with Houston. But when you get to the NFC, Chris, it's Rams and Saints, right? Is there anyone else that could compete with those two teams?
I don't think so going on the road, although as we mentioned, I respect the Bears and the Cowboys defense. And if they can get the running game going in those games and they can do a pretty good job defending the run like the Bears did against the Rams and the Cowboys did against the Saints, slow down their run games of those teams. We think about those teams throwing it across the lot. It's the running game that makes the Saints and Rams passing game go. If they can slow down defensively, slow down the running game of those teams, they've got a shot. But their offense is going to have to be clicking because you can slow them down. You still have to score points. So how are you going to do it? Are you going to create points with your defense, create short fields for your offense, get some special teams, returns, whatnot? You've got to score some points. So I think you have to look at it. If you're Dallas, if you're Chicago, and you're going on the road to the Rams or the Saints, you got to figure out how to score 24, 28 points, if not 30. And if you can do that, I think their defenses are good enough to maybe give them a shot there. But, you know, you're not going to win those 13-10 games like the Cowboys did at home against the Saints. You're not doing that in New Orleans, I can tell you.
Well, we wait and see what the playoff scenarios play out the next couple of weeks. Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com, always appreciate you hopping on with us. And again, it's the perfect holiday gift for you or the loved one that gives all year long the subscription to LandryFootball.com. Again, it's cheaper than a magazine subscription, and you get all content, whether it's college football or NFL. Chris, thank you so much for hopping on, and we will talk next week after the games wrap up in the NFL.
Hey, thank you so much, Alex. Good to be with you, buddy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.